Welcome to The Crucible, where the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. SIAM has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Join us now as we discuss the key issues and global initiatives to give you the relevant information needed to make informed decisions, to influence policy that directly affects our sector, and to help our industry grow in an uncertain future.
Hello and welcome to The Crucible, the official podcast of the SIMM, where we explore ideas, people, and leadership shaping the future of mining and metallurgy. Today's episode is a special one entitled Presidents in Conversation. I'm Gary Lane, the current president of SIMM, and I'm joined by someone whose legacy I continue to build on, our past president, Dr. Elias Matinda. I've often said I have big shoes to fill, and then I noticed that Elias actually wears running shoes. So not only are the shoes big, they're fast. This episode is an informal conversation between two presidents, a look at our journeys, our leadership philosophies, our highlights, and the lessons we've learned about the industry and the Institute. Elias, thank you for joining me. It's an honor having you here.
Thanks, Gary. The pleasure is mine.
Well, let's kick in, Elias. You know, everyone knows your name, but not everyone knows your story. So, Dr. Elias Matinda, when did your journey begin?
Thanks, Gary. I have a long history with the SIMM. I joined SIMM in 2011, but let me take this opportunity to introduce myself. I was born in Shurugwe in Zimbabwe. And for those who don't know, Shurugwe is a mining town. I did my junior high school in Mfuma. It's also a mining town. And I also did my high school in Kwekwe, which is also a very, you know, a smelting complex where you have your Samarcos and your Ciscos. And then I did my undergrad at the University of Zimbabwe. So I majored in metallurgy. That's how my journey in the industry started. So I think that's it, yeah.
Yeah, so you're surrounded a little bit around mining there in your hometown, so it makes a bit of sense that you got involved in mining, hey, Elias?
Yes, but ironically, I didn't think that I would become involved in the mining industry. I thought I would be something else. I wanted to be a doctor at some point. I wanted to be something else. But I think I found something that really talks to me, yeah.
Thanks. Oh, brilliant. And when did you join the SIMM and what drew you into joining?
That's a very interesting dimension, actually. Let me take you back to 2011, September 2011. I attended the SIMM Iron Ore Conference in Misty Hills. It was a two-day conference. And then thereafter, we had a Zimbabwe branch. I was invited. I was excited. And I was actually submitted my application forms. And my membership was approved in October 2011. So since then, I've been involved in the SIMM. I also was immediately nominated to be the Zimbabwean branch chairperson, secretary for the branch. And I've been volunteering ever since. And, you know, I joined the council and now past president. It's a long story, but very exciting and rich as well.
Oh, wow. So it all started with the Zimbabwe branch, and that was your initial involvement. That's fantastic. And, you know, how did your journey evolve into becoming the actual president?
I think consistency in volunteering, and actually I did love every part of it. We used to organize events and get-togethers and everything. So I consistently volunteered and continued to participate in the SIMM until I was nominated to be the, you know, to get into the office bearers, and I grew through the ranks. And I think that's the most important aspect of SIMM. It is that mentorship and coaching into the leadership of the institution. So I really did love the whole process of growing into a leadership position.
And that sort of is a nice segue into the next sort of era of conversation, Elias, is what would you say is your passion within the mining and metallurgy industry?
I'm very passionate about training and mentoring. I have a history with academic teaching and learning. I studied as a part-time lecturer in Zimbabwe back in the days, and I did When I joined WITS, I was an academic. I actually trained a lot of our young engineers in metallurgy and chemical engineering. So that, to me, is my passion, because that's also the way we can grow the industry. You know, we need to continuously develop skills. So to me, that's my passion. And I think I can do that again and again without even no regret. I love it.
So that sort of ties in with what I want to understand about your actual leadership philosophy, Elias.
That's a very difficult question. I never thought about it to say how I would respond to that. I believe I'm collaborative, and I think through the power of collaboration, we can leverage on each other's strengths. So I know that I'm never going to be good at anything or everything, but at least if we collaborate, we can combine our strengths. Eh? So my leadership, I think I'm collaborative, but I'll let my colleagues be the judge of that. Eh?
No, I did see that, Elias, when I sat in those council meetings during your presidency and your great collaborative style where everybody participated and you had this calm way of leading those meetings. So I can support that.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you. And now let me try to understand who is Gary. And we know you as our current president. And who is Gary and what's behind the title?
Yeah, so let me give you a little bit of a background like yours. And I was born in the Eastern Cape, I went to school in Johannesburg, and then I went and did a degree in civil engineering. So I didn't actually start in mining. The reason I got involved in mining is that I needed a bursary, and I sent out a whole bunch of letters for scholarships, and Anglo-American were the first people to reply. And I went for an interview with Anglo-American, got a scholarship. So that's how I actually got into mining, and then spent 10 years working for Anglo-American. And my philosophy after I graduated was I'd work for 10 years and then do an MBA. So that's exactly what I did. I did an MBA, finished the MBA, and then wanted to do something different other than engineering. And Anglo-American didn't know what to do with me. So I left and got involved in my first startup business. I've done multiple startup businesses over the years. So really almost 37 years now of working in the mining industry. It's been phenomenal. Learned a hell of a lot across a whole range of different roles within the industry. It's been exciting and excited to give back to the industry as I move further, in my different roles.
That's very interesting, Gary. Actually, you raised something very important, that you don't necessarily have to have studied mining or metallurgy for you to join the SIMM. So studying engineering, civil engineering, or another discipline, what would be your advice for someone, let's say, who studies industrial engineering or environmental sciences?
Yeah, I mean, really, really good point here, Elias, and that is the SIMM is not for mining and metallurgy graduates only. We are for all graduates required in the, and not even just graduates, but professionals that are working in the mining industry across all spheres and disciplines are required. So we need lawyers, industrial engineers, electrical engineers, civil, mechatronics for the mine of the future. So we actually need to attract all those skills into our industry. I mean, this year is quite interesting. We've got a civil engineers president, and our chairperson of the Young Professionals Council is actually an industrial engineer. So we have two non-mining roles heading up our young professionals and our institute.
That's very interesting, eh? And I think for the rest of the colleagues out there, you just said for yourself, you don't necessarily have to be a graduate of mining engineering to join the, or metallurgy for you to join the SIMM. Actually, your participation and passion in the industry is what we need, and is what brings value. So talking of passion, what is your focus area in the industry?
The reason why I do what I do now is really because of the different types of experience that I've had. You know, first doing 10 years of capital projects for Anglo-American, very, very fortunate. I then got involved in my first startup business that's focused on mine optimization, software development, having a look at how we optimize a mine, using a lot of data, learned a lot around software development. And then in the last 10 years, very much focusing on the people side. So if I had to sum up where I am now, it's the combination of all of that skill. So I'd say I focus on systems thinking around how do all the interconnected parts fit together. An important piece is the people side, which is obviously often neglected. So very much around people, and how do you make a organizational design and orchestrate the organization so people are able to operate at their best potential. So they perform and how that's all orchestrated so the organization will perform. And there's some great tools and methodologies, both in design thinking, system thinking, and some of the tools and methodologies, even Lean Six Sigma, Theory of Constraints. So really, my passion is really making sure an organization can perform, and not just in mining. So that's one of my key philosophies.
Thanks, Gary. Actually, I'm going to put you on the spot. You raised a very important aspect, systems thinking, design thinking. We really need those soft skills in our industry, especially on the young professionals. Once you are done with your presidents, when you've got some free time, would you be open to giving a webinar or some training short course or something like that?
Yes, no, for sure. I will put together, I've actually done a bit of work on the integration and fusion of design and systems thinking, which I'm going to be presenting further. So I'm more than happy to do that, Elias.
That's great. Yeah, thanks very much for that. I think it is developing skills in the industry is also what SIMM is very good at. And it's also what SIMM stands for, because we want to empower our young professionals in the industry.
So, Elias, what would you say is the highlight of your presidency?
That's very interesting. Actually, my first month as president, after inauguration, I traveled to China for the 17th International Congress on Ferroalloys, representing SIMM at the Infocon was very refreshing. I'll give you a reason why it was very, I will always remember that experience. It's because the Infocon, the Ferroalloys Congress, was started in 1974 by SIMM. So it travels now, it rotates around the world, and being there is my first month to represent the SIMM, to me it was very refreshing. And also, it is one of the past presidents, Dr. Rodney Jones, was also chairing the. So it felt like home away from home. That was very interesting for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. And you know, Elias, I remember when I was at the Africon conference in, I think it was July of this year at Sun City, and I said to you, I've got big shoes to fill. And then I looked down and I noticed that you wear running shoes. I don't know if you remember that. And did the running shoes help you during your presidency?
Yes, running really did help. And it's also a hobby that I find to be rejuvenating, to be refreshing. You always, in the industry, we also encourage keeping healthy. You know, the industry requires us to stay healthy because we are the custodian of the economy. We need to drive the economy. But let me tell you about running and presidents of SIMM, and I hope you do run as well, Gary. Is Dr. Nick Baxter. He's a past president. He's also from Intech, also a pyrometallurgist like myself by training and by experience and by life. He used to run, and I'm sure he still runs. Dr. Rodney Jones still runs, and actually he did his 500th park run recently. So running is something that we take very seriously. And of course, also Isabel Heldiness, past president as well. She's a runner and she has done a couple of comrades. So you can see that actually I need to run more so that I can really catch up with my mentors and my past presidents as well. So it's something that I really do enjoy. But, you know, it really does help me to stay focused and also to replenish my energy. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, so I used to run, Elias, and then I hung up my running shoes because I thought, you know, while my knee joints and ankles are still all strong, I would take a mountain biking and then broke my collarbone. So that was crazy. I do see Rodney at some of the park runs, although I walk the park run. And his time, I mean, is incredible. I see 25 and a half minutes for 5 kilometers.
That's incredible. For me, I think that would be impossible, but it's something that I always tell myself and my colleagues as well. Is let's keep moving. You know, it's worth it. It also helps you to keep, you know, to keep the energy, the vitality as well. But Rodney's special, so I don't want to compete with Rodney because I know I'm always going to lose. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, Rodney is actually the reason why I got onto council. I think during his presidency, he called me and asked me to please join the council. So he co-opted me on in 2015. So Rodney played a big part in why I actually got involved. And in most meetings I still, or committee meetings I sit on, I still see Rodney always on the calls with a smile and a calmness. So it's always great. I feel confident when he's there that if something goes wrong, he can pull me out.
He has your back. And that's what also is important for the SIMM. You know, you always, it is that coaching, that mentoring, someone also always being there to help you. And okay, enough about me, Gary. What about you? What has been the highlight of your presidency so far? I know it's too early, but there must be something. Eh?
Yeah. So I think, for me, Elias, you know, what is amazing is that I've been able to leverage, you know, all of that systems thinking skill that I did around orchestrating organization. What I've realized is I'm able to now use all of those skills within the SIMM to really look at building the SIMM's operating model so that we've got a sustainable way of delivering the same quality to our members and the industry every time, especially as we grow the institute's influence and we get more members. I think the most critical sort of thing that I really got most sort of reward out of was I focused over the last 6 weeks on engaging our students. So I've been to all the universities, and well, not all of them. I'm going to go to the rest of them in February, but really probably presented to about 450 students in the last 6 weeks. And what is really incredible is they're so excited. They want to get involved. I mean, these are our future leaders of the industry. And I feel very comfortable that we've got some incredible people coming through. If we mentor and coach them and get them involved in the right stuff, the industry is in good hands in the future. So that for me is probably some of my highlights that are really, really stand out for me.
Yeah, I think that to me is very critical as well. I think that resonates to my passion as well. I think if we get the students, you know, the curriculum right at the universities and the transition through the young professionals into the industry, I do believe that we can really sustain and grow our mining industry. And I think that, please don't stop, please, you know, keep it up. It's really, really going to help us, you know, going forward. Yeah.
I mean, look, Elias, I've set a strategic target that, I mean, just like you say, the students are the future members of the institute. They get free membership. But I've said we've got to get a target of 1,000 students across disciplines in as student members of SIMM. So that's our target to achieve at the end of next year. So it's quite an ambitious target, but I think we'll make it happen. So Elias, what is the one thing you discovered about the SIMM during your presidency that you never actually knew?
So, you know, when I was volunteering and being part of SIMM, I thought I understood SIMM and I thought I understood the mining industry as well. Actually being involved in the SIMM and traveling around, attending conferences, opening conferences, I actually understood and learned a lot of things from Rocco Engineering. Remember the conference that we co-hosted with Sanaya in Sun City? I attended sulfuric acid in Stellenbosch and I realized like there's a whole lot of things, knowledge in the industry. But the most important aspect for me was what the SIMM was doing, the SIMM was doing to the industry, bringing people together. That knowledge, you know, providing a platform for knowledge to me, I think that was the most important thing that I realized, that SIMM is, it's like a classroom away from the class where people can actually get together and learn. And this, you know, the fact that we, you know, the technical program committees does organize a variety of conferences, bring people together. And actually there is a lot of engagement, collaboration going on through the SIMM. To me, that was groundbreaking. Is there anything else that I didn't know before? I think the depth of the engagement to me was something that I didn't expect. But again, like I said, there are a lot of surprises you'll see every time you interact with different people from different committees, the engagement, the commitment as well to drive value for the industry. Remember, we are a voluntary association. People do spend time. Their voluntary time, their spare time to commit to SIMM activities. And that level of commitment, I don't think you can get it anywhere else other than within the SIMM.
So I'm actually going to give you mine as well, Elias. You know, I've been involved in the SIMM now for almost 22 years, having been involved in many organizing committees. You know, and then I actually became the chairperson of the technical program, which I held for sort of 7 years. And what's interesting, even though I've been involved and I've had those roles, I never realized until now the level of diverse activities that the SIMM actually coordinates between all the different technical program activities, colloquiums, schools, short courses, webinars. I mean, we're doing probably 40 events a year. And the impact that we actually have on the industry and the amount of dedicated volunteers that man up all of those committees across all of those activities and the 23 incredible staff inside the SIMM that keep all of that going. It's been quite an eye-opener, even though I've been involved for 22 years. So I think for me, that was the surprise that I had when I took on the presidency now 3 months ago.
Yeah, that's very true. And I don't really get it how Sam and the team actually can organize such conferences, huge number of people. Remember the MindSurf last year, there were about 1,000 people attending. And again, this year, I believe the number was also around that much. And everything just, you know, the level of organization, the level of attention to detail, conferences going on, you know, very smoothly. I think that's also very interesting. Usually when you attend a conference in your own specific discipline, you attend maybe one or two, you will see as we open the new year again that, you know, you attend and you know, the complexity of our conferences is very, very interesting. Yeah. But I think it's the level of depth and the impact that we have to the industry and our journal. Let's not forget our journal as well. Yeah. It's also one of the most read journals within the SADC area for the mining industry. So to me, again, that I didn't know about those statistics, you know, until you start being president and you start looking at the institution from a different lens.
Yeah, and I found out something very interesting. Our circulation numbers on that journal has gone up by 26% in the last 12 months, which is very different to a lot of other industry journals. So our journal is really sought after, which is quite incredible. So really, really brilliant. You know, Elias, I've actually attended every conference so far since I've been president. I think I've attended 5 conferences. I must tell you, world-class organizing by the committee. Very proud to arrive there. The presentation that I need to give is on the computer. I just need to go up to the podium. The social media team know what photographs to take. So it's really well-oiled machine. So it's phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that really brings to, you know, what SIMM's value proposition is all about. What value we give to our members, to our communities, to our stakeholders as well. You know, that the engagement, the collaboration, the level of education, because, you know, the content itself is also very, you know, very well structured and applies in, you know, to wide disciplines. I think it is also something that the SIMM is very good. So if you look at the conferences, we talked about the conferences, we talked about the journal, we talked about the schools, we talked about the webinars, all those things that where we create platforms for knowledge transfer within the industry. I think to me that is something that I'm very much proud to be associated with as part of the SIMM. And again, I would always encourage colleagues out there in the industry to come and volunteer. I think without that voluntary, effort, we might not be able to grow as much as we would like to have. And then, Gary, what do you believe is the value proposition should be in the future? I know we're talking about the SIMM as we know it today.
Yeah, very, very good question, Elias, because I've engaged very broadly, spoken to a lot of people, understood different members' perspectives, looked in at the industry, also having a chat to the Engineering Council of South Africa. And being a systems thinker, I'm sitting looking at how do we as the SRMM fit into the system? And let me describe that system to you. You've got the mining industry. The mining industry needs all of these skills, especially into the future. There are going to be skills we probably don't even know we need right now. But if you have a look, we've got electrical, civil, mining, metallurgy, megatronics, you've got and environmental engineering. So all of these requirements with probably different skills into the future. SRMM is sitting there as potentially the platform for the home for all of our professionals across disciplines. And a very, very important aspect of that is the ongoing skills development and thought leadership that the SRMM offers there. Because I'm not sure if many people are aware, but the Engineering Council of South Africa has now gazetted the requirement that all engineers, technologists, and technicians will have to be registered to be able to operate in identified engineering work. Now, this is not just the mining industry. This is across all industries. So it basically means we are professionalizing the way that the engineering discipline operates, just like all the other disciplines that exist. Doctors, accountants, auditors, they all have professional bodies that drive ethics and competence. And we'll have the same in the mining industry. So now you've got the requirements to register, which needs some work done across the 11 competencies, where SRMM can help accelerate that competency development, together with continuing professional development. So to remain as a registered engineer, you'll need 25 points. They call them CBD points, but you'll need 25 points every five-year cycle. SRMM is a platform to basically ensure that all of our professionals into the mining industry are registered and are able to maintain those CPD requirements. In addition, the SRMM plays a very critical role in academia. So you'll find a lot of the heads of school of the different universities across metallurgy and mining are actually members of SRMM. They sit on our council, they sit on committees. So we as SRMM now can actually connect back into the undergrad, postgrad curriculum and actually help drive change as required for future needs of the industry, together with collaboration between the university. So I see SRMM playing a critical role in that system of ensuring the mining industry has the skills and capabilities of their professionals into the future. There's no reason why the SRMM can't be 25,000 members if you look at that potential value proposition.
Absolutely. And I also like the idea that our activities are CPD accredited. So by attending a conference, you actually can, accumulate your CPD points. And I think that's very important for us.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, Elias, belonging to SRMM gives you a point a year. You then need another 4 points every year for the five-year cycle. So if you attend one technical conference and maybe two short courses, you will get your 25 points. So, and this is real development that all supports the engineering skills upskilling. So Elias, let's something very interesting that I want to understand is how do you actually become a doctor? And what does this journey look like to become a doctor?
Sure, that's very interesting. I was lucky. Let me put it that way. I was lucky. I got a job. My first job, I was working for a government research organization in Harare, SIRDC. So that really positioned me, and I happened to be lucky to get a scholarship to study in Japan and did my master's and PhD. And since then, I've just been involved in the research and academia. So I think to me, I would like to just share the experience as well to young professionals who are coming up into the industry to actually explore similar opportunities as well. They do exist. And all one needs to do is to explore and, go out there, best-in-class institutions all over the world, learn the skills, come back, and let's build the industry for South Africa and for Southern Africa as well.
So what you're saying is anyone can actually become a doctor if they apply their mind to the work required.
I think anyone can become a doctor because, for me, I think the most difficult aspect is, going through your undergraduate degree. If you get through your undergraduate degree, you can become anything else. Because masters, it's mentorship in research. Someone will guide you. It's not like you are on your own out there. You get mentored into research. You pick up those skills, you know, through their structured programs to help you to grow as well. And if you become, you know, decide to go for PhD, there's also those structured programs within academic and research institutions to help you to grow. So most people always think that is very difficult. It's not. It's actually the desire to start. Once you get started, you can actually easily get through. And nowadays, we've been engaging with other government entities. You know, we're talking of the industry PhD. You can actually get a PhD while you're working in your dead job and also doing research that will help to, you know, to solve problems that you experience every day. So that's part of, you know, another opportunity that we need to aggressively explore as well as in the industry. That industry PhD is very good because one does not have to take time away from work to become a full-time student than I was, but actually develop your hypothesis based on your everyday job. So it's something that we're trying to socialize now to the industry and say, let's help to develop this in collaboration with our academic institutions. Oh, so wow. To me, it's something that I'll be driving very aggressively going forward.
Wow, that's very interesting, Elias. That's something to keep an eye on. So that's a great opportunity. Let's move a little bit differently and let's start understanding a little bit around our lives outside of mining. Elias, what do you enjoy doing in your spare time?
These days, I picked up a very weird habit. I listen to YouTube and I'm starting to listen to systems thinking, you know, videos, you know, design thinking. You know, there's a lot of content out there that actually you can learn without feeling like you're learning. And I've realized the more I engage with the content, the more obsessed I become with it and actually realize that you learn a lot. So that I do because I feel like if I don't constantly learn as well, because I've got a busy schedule, so that will help me with acquiring new knowledge. Of course, every now and again, I always find an opportunity to go out for a run. It's one of those things that I really take very seriously. I do enjoy, you know, going out for a run, actually out in the open. I live next to a very beautiful park, so it's also one of those things, just getting out of the house and just walking around in the sun, in the open, it also helps, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw that commitment, Elias, on Saturday morning when we were leaving the Limpopo branch conference. Even though it was all muddy and wet, you were out there early running in your running shoes.
And you, Gary, what about you, man?
Yeah, so, you know, Elias, it's a very, very good question because, I mean, if you think about it, SIMM president, it's almost like a full-time job, but you actually have two. You have a day job and you're SIMM president.
It is, absolutely.
There's a lot that I have to be thinking about solving and all of that, especially around the systems thinking stuff. So for me, mountain biking is a great opportunity. I love mountain biking. It's interesting, sort of 20 minutes into my mountain biking, you can throw any complex problem to me and my brain just goes into this problem solving mode without even having to think about it. So any of the complexities around an organization's operating model, systems thinking, I get sort of this clarity while I ride. So it's a great opportunity, which basically means anywhere I go, and I've been very lucky, I've worked all around the world. I generally go and find mountain bikes to go and ride. So I've ridden a lot of stage races in South Africa, but I've actually now, even when I'm on projects, I've ridden around Ireland on weekends. I've gone in the UK when I worked there for 2 years on a project. I was riding in Swinley Forest where they've shoot a few movies. And then I also managed to find 49 kilometers of dirt trail in the middle of London, which most people laugh at me and they think, how on earth did you do that, Gary? But I found a path around Richmond Park and up into Putney Commons near to Wimbledon. So I'm able to get a dirt trail in London without only having to catch one train of 15 minutes and not a 1.5 hour trek to Swinley. What I've also done, I do like outdoors. I was very fortunate. I did a 5-day unsupported paddling down the Orange River with my daughter leading, which was such an incredible experience. I'm sleeping in tents on the sandbank. Her telling me to go left, right, watch out for the rock as we're going down the rapids. So that was really, really good. And I've also kayaked on Yellowstone Lake And I even last year, I was able to kayak on the swamps in Louisiana. So, you know, I like outdoors. I like doing things. You know, I have a busy day job. So this is the opportunity for me to sort of unwind. So those are the things that I enjoy doing, Elias.
Thanks, Gary. I think I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to recruit me into mountain biking. I'll consider that. I think it's something that, that I would like to, I've always wanted to explore. Yeah. But I just haven't put my,
I always say that it's a sport. You'll notice it's a lot of older people that ride mountain bikes. You know, it's giving away my age here. But it is a little bit gentle on the joints if you don't fall off.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't do as I do as I say. So a little bit of an opportunity to reflect a little bit, and let's give some advice to our members and our young graduates out there. You know, Elias, what one piece of advice would you give to our young engineers or metallurgists entering the industry today?
Well, I think the first and foremost is never stop learning. The industry is changing. The best practices are improving at very phenomenal rates. And if you stop learning, you stop growing. So that is my advice. Getting an undergraduate degree helps you to get into the industry. But growing as a profession, you need to constantly be developing yourself, you know, both within the technical field as well as, you know, acquiring your social, you know, and soft skills. Like we mentioned systems thinking earlier. It's also one of those skills that if you don't have it, no matter how good you are, you might actually struggle to grow because the complexity that we're experiencing in the industry requires all those skills. And we don't normally teach those skills in the university. So I think my advice is never stop learning. The hunger for knowledge will always differentiate between someone, you know, an above average performer versus the rest of the crowd. Yeah? So I think to me.
Really good advice, yeah, Elias. Really good advice.
That's all I would think about. And any final thoughts or reflections you'd like to share with the SMM community as the, you know, the current president?
No, good question, Elias. You know, it's probably what I'm telling all the young graduates and also the students when I'm seeing them. You know, you can get very busy in the busyness of business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you've got to utilize it. And SIMM is not the only platform, but it is a very, very good platform with some great leaders in the organization. So my advice would be get involved in SIMM, okay? And get involved initially because it's not about being a member. It's about getting involved in industry level initiatives. So get involved in an organizing committee. The SIMM secretariat is really good at doing the admin. They need your brains. Get involved in organizing committee. It's how I started. And then build on from that. Get involved in other committees. If you're a young professional, join the Young Professionals Council. Take on a bit of a portfolio. You gain confidence from running meetings, presenting at conferences. You know, the first one you do, you're probably going to be terrified, but it gets easier and easier and you gain confidence. And eventually, you know, get voted onto the SIMM Council. That's really the board. It may be your first opportunity to be in a governance role, but it'll give you the great developmental exposure to be on a future board around how do you operate on a board. So my advice would be get involved in the SIMM. Volunteer to get involved. If you go the extra mile, you differentiate yourself from everybody else. And I think that's very, very important because there are a lot of people graduating, but you want to be seen to be a leader and seen to be doing something different involved in the broader community.
Thanks, Gary. I think that to me, I think is also something that I fully and strongly recommend our young professionals because without putting yourself out there, you will never be exposed. And the SIMM provides you with that platform. And I think that's it. Eh?
Thank you. Elias, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Yeah. It's been great. And thank you very much for joining us on this podcast.
Now, the pleasure is mine, Gary. And I really wish you the best for the rest of your presidents. And of course, the real work starts after. Consider this session your 12 months is training to understand the SIMM. That's how I would like to regret it. But look forward to, you know, working together again to grow the industry. We've got a job to do, yeah?
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Please note that the facts and opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not reflect the position of SIAEM or the corporate institution.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.